It's the day before Good Friday and Christ is King. Am I right?
The truth that hid wickedness, that I thought was the most wicked truth to use, was the truth that Christ is King.
Okay, well, I'm definitely right, but I don't understand what... Okay, so here's the deal. Andrew Klavan is talking about the falling out between Candace Owens and the Daily Wire and talking about some of the quote-unquote anti-Semitic things that she said. In the process, Klavan makes also some interesting comments about Christianity and Jesus that I think are absolutely worth talking about. So we'll dig into the controversy between the Daily Wire and Candace Owens, and also we'll ask the question, is Christ King? Yes, he is. All that and more today on Indie Thinker. Welcome to the show. My name is Reed Huberman, and I've got a great one prepared for you today, as always. Now, I am watching some of you, and I have noticed that you watch the show, but then later you forget to subscribe. So just friendly reminder here. You can subscribe by mashing the little button down below and then clicking that little bell to be notified when new episodes drop, because you don't want to miss a single one. If the show has ever been a benefit to you, if it's ever impacted your life, inspired you, made you a better human being, maybe even made your board game playing skills a little bit better, then I highly want to encourage you to make sure to subscribe to the show. And then you can also go one step further by signing up for our newsletter. That's the place where you can get Indie Thinker exclusive extras. You can also see the full-length trailer to our brand new film, Fatherless. And you can also find ways to support that film so that we can finish this thing, take it out of pre-production, and move into full-scale production on it. If you believe that the makeup of the nuclear family, the absence of fathers in homes, really does make a difference in society, well, then we can do something together about it. You can support us and so much more by signing up for our newsletter. You can go to the link on the screen now to do that, or you can go to the description of this podcast where you can find a Linktree link that will take you to subscription for our newsletter. We thank you in advance for doing it. Not too long ago, a story was reported about a mother who went on a 10-day vacation and left her 16-month-old child in the crib, threw a couple of bottles of milk down in the crib, and then left. When she returned home, the child was dead. It's not odd to piece together how something like this might happen. Of course, we give full blame to the mother, but also it's important for us to acknowledge when we've told a generation of people that the baby in your belly is a fetus, a clump of cells, or even worse, a parasite feeding on the host mother, we shouldn't think it odd then when people go through the very small effort of not caring for their infant child and leaving it at home alone to die in its own feces. Now, I start off the show that way because I want to be like Christian radio, positive and encouraging. So I like good stories like that to kick the show off. But more importantly, I start the show off that way because we are creating a generation of absurd people, and I can't help but believe this is intentional. Voltaire said it this way: if you can convince people of absurdities, you can convince them to commit atrocities. And we're seeing that all the time. Transgenderism, anyone?
Can you see him? I think he is a she.
And that's why it's important for a group of people, especially Christians, to hold themselves to a high standard of caring for and telling the truth. That's why I've always liked the Daily Wire. But I will be honest and say that there are times where I've had a little bit of issue with Candace Owens because of her tendency to verge into the absurd. I understand that we live in a society today where social media incentivizes absurd things online, where you can get a bunch of clicks and a bunch of likes and a bunch of interactions from people just by simply posting something absurd. Now, I'm not saying that that's what Candace has done, because I will tell you that I really like Candace. And as a fellow believer, I think Candace has been beneficial. She's been a net positive, if you will, for the kingdom of God and for Christians. I think she's done a lot of good work. But there are times where I question what she's really after and what she's really about. And Klavan did the same right on the heels of Candace being fired from the Daily Wire. It's been a lot of controversy as to why she was fired. Was she fired because the Daily Wire doesn't like free thinkers and independent thought, and they can't have that kind of thing going on their platform? Or was she fired simply because she was saying things that honestly shouldn't have been said and that the Daily Wire didn't want to underwrite? So we'll talk about that today as we dig into a conversation that Andrew Klavan has on his podcast about this very subject. Let's jump into it.
My relationship with Candace has been nothing but collegial and friendly. I would bump into her. I don't know her well, but I would bump into her in hair and makeup. We always greeted each other with pleasantness and friendliness. We always had pleasant little chats. I would see her backstage. I never felt that she wanted my opinion on her work. I never felt invited to give her my opinion on her work. And I am the sort of person who, if asked my opinion on anything, will give it absolutely and bluntly, but never give it when I'm not asked. Unless there's somebody standing on my toe, I'm not going to give them I'm not going to volunteer my opinion. So we were friendly, and I certainly have no reason to dislike her personally, and I don't dislike her personally. I've never had any meeting with her where I walked away feeling, wow, I don't like that person. It just didn't happen. And in fact, I felt a small investment in her because, as I have bragged repeatedly of any number of people, I have a weird knack for spotting broadcast talent. I grew up, my father was a famous broadcaster, and so I just know it when I see it. I knew it when I saw it in Ben. I knew it when I saw it in Knowles, you know, that little bit of broadcast talent that he has. I spotted Candace when she was on a small YouTube station doing Blexit stuff, you know, blacks should get out of the Democrat Party stuff. I invited her on my show back when we were in the first office we had in LA, I believe. I had her on my show. She left. I walked down the hall to Jeremy's office. That was back before he had the throne room with the guys with the spears and all that stuff. And I walked down the hall and I said, if you want to bring a woman into this operation, I just met her because that's one of the most talented broadcasters I have ever met. And I would say it then and I would say it now. She is and remains an amazing talent, a person who radiates star quality and someone who just understands what the mic and the camera are all about in ways that I don't come close to. And I just truly admire and still admire what the amazing talent that she has. And by the way, Jeremy did not hire her when I said so. He may regret that because it cost him, you know, a lot of money to wait, but still, you know, I understood what she was the minute I saw her. I was on her show once or twice at the beginning, but I never listened to it. And the reason I never listened to it was because of all the stuff that I felt was silly. I mean, some of the stuff I felt I knew what she was going to say, which was the, you know, the Blexit stuff, which I'm all in favor of. But the stuff about the moon landing being fixed, you know, rigged, and 9/11 being an inside job, she would hint at. And recently there was Mrs. Macron, the first lady of France, is a man, and all that stuff. It's silly stuff. And the reason it's silly stuff is, one, it's not true. It's, you know, the amount of conspiracy it would take to fake the moon landing with nobody saying that it was fake is insane. And everything that sounds like science about it is ridiculous. It's not true. None of those things is true. 9/11 wasn't an inside job. The moon landing wasn't faked. Mrs. Macron has a daughter who looks just like her. She's not a man. But if they were true, Candace wouldn't know. And I wouldn't know because we don't have that kind of inside information. I don't care what people tell you. That's not the kind of thing that you know unless you are a top investigative reporter and can come up with the documents and show and prove the truth. But that's all that stuff is show business to me, you know? That's what she did. She has this enormous talent. That's her gift. She has a right to decide how to use it. None of my business. You know, she has a huge audience, I'm sure, still. And so I guess they like that stuff. It's nothing to me. It just doesn't mean anything to me. It's not the sort of thing I listen to. But that's the way she wanted to go with her talent. That's a choice that each person makes on his own or her own. And I am not privy in any way, shape, or form to her thinking.
So since you asked, I'll tell you honestly how I feel about this. It's a free country, and you can engage in the kind of conspiracy theory peddling that goes on in the internet if you want. I have a really good friend of mine that has become huge on X by doing this very thing. And he's actually been caught multiple times for not telling the truth. That kind of thing doesn't interest me at all. I'm not interested in the kind of shock bait and the kind of ridiculous crap posting that gets people's attention and gets people who are totally irrational on your side. That's not interesting to me at all. It feels to me like selling my soul to build a big platform on things that I know are not true. So you do lose my respect when you start talking about things that are utterly don't matter. In a world with so much bad and evil that deserves our attention, I cannot fathom talking about the faking of the moon landing while there are people who are getting their penises chopped off in gender clinics around the United States. One deserves more attention than the other is all I am saying. Now, I get it. There's a common strand between the government lying to you about the moon landing and the government lying to you about whether or not minors are getting their genitalia operated on by Dr. Frankenstein in gender clinics. There is a common strand there, but it's important for us to separate the two and understand that one deserves way more attention than the other. So I don't want to continually follow rabbit trails that ultimately aren't really that productive and that redemptive, because human life matters way more. And by the way, I think this is especially important as I get older, because I think younger people are watching. And if we want them to be impacted and to take us seriously, it's important that we engage in subject matter that actually really matters. I understand the internet incentivizes the kind of foolishness that we see in conspiracy theories and, quite frankly, the conspiracy theory of progressive Christianity as though it was actual Christianity. Just a personal axe to grind, just throwing that in for extra. But anyway, I understand it incentivizes the most ridiculous stuff, but it's important for us not to fall for that. That's fruit from a poisonous tree that will eventually come back to bite you in the butt. And I can't help but wonder if that is actually what happened to Candace here. Amidst all of the multitudinous, and I think majority of the good that Candace has done, there are those things that continually, I think, whittle away at the great reputation that she has if she is not careful. All right, let's jump into the next clip.
Then the juice stuff started. And here's what I want to say about this. And this is pretty much what I have to talk about, because I don't want to attack her personally. I don't know what's on her mind and why she went down this road. I just don't know her that well. The left has made bigotry and hatred valuable by calling us bigots and calling us hateful when we tell the simple truth. So I say, there's high crime in black neighborhoods, and the high crime is not because of slavery. It is because of fatherlessness, and it's because of a culture that's going on in certain black neighborhoods that is increasing. And the left says, oh, you're a racist. You're canceled. You stink, you know. Somebody says homosexuality is against my religion. No, you can't host the Oscars. You're out of work. I'm called to HR. A man can't become a woman. Oh, my God, you have phobia. That's a phobia to say a man can't become a woman. So the left has used the accusation of hatred and racism, bigotry and phobia to keep us from speaking the truth, which means that when somebody comes along and says something that that makes the left go crazy, it sounds like the truth. So I actually got at your best.
My favorite beef sticks are from Paleo Valley. They are 100% grass.
What would it be like if you couldn't just come to a game and drop hundreds of dollars, turn all the cards right away?
Anything that ever had to do with slavery. It's not anti-Semitic to attack George Soros. It's not anti-Semitic to disagree with Ben. It's not anti-Semitic to criticize Israel or to feel that America should not be supporting Israel or even to believe that the Palestinians have a case to make about the way they've been treated. I have even spoken about the fact that religions are thought processes that feed into modern thought processes. And I've spoken about the fact that secular Jews specifically are more drawn to materialist philosophy because Christians have treated them so badly over the years, they can't turn from their, as I did, turn from their Judaism to Christianity. So there's a lot of things that you can say that people accuse you that are true, that people call racism. But you guys are smart people, right? And you know that people can use the truth to mask wickedness. You know this, right? The devil does it in the Bible, right? The devil comes up to Jesus to tempt Jesus, and he quotes scripture. He speaks the truth to mask evil, right? So if I'm the kind of brave conservative, which I am, who will sit and talk about high crime in black neighborhoods or criticize Soros, you know, without caring whether I'm called anti-Semitic or anything like that, and you're the kind of person who hates people because of the color of their skin or judges people according to the color of the skin, it's easy for you to blend in with me, right? We're sitting around talking about high crime in black neighborhoods, and you're sitting there going, yeah, the crime in black neighborhoods. But I'm not on your side. I am not on your side at all. I believe that God made us in his image, every single one of us. That is written down. That is scriptural truth. That is right there in the Bible. He made men and women in his image. It doesn't say he made white men. It doesn't say he made black men. It doesn't say anything. It just says men and women are made in God's image. I believe that 100%. So Candace stood by her friend Kanye West when he started spouting crazy stuff about going DEFCON on the Jews. Fine. She has a mentally ill friend. She stood by him, you know, fine. You know, it was a little uncomfortable, but still, you know, so what? You know, she attacked this guy, Rabbi Shmuley. I will tell you, with all honesty, I don't even know who Rabbi Shmuley is. I have no idea. I didn't look him up. I haven't seen anything from him. You know, she's complaining about him. Fine. You don't like a rabbi? You're allowed not to like. You're allowed not to like Ben. You're allowed not to like anybody you don't like. If you can spell it out for me, what the problem is. But when you start saying things like some of those books Hitler burned weren't so bad, you know, I was shocked. This is something Candace actually said. I was surprised to learn that the books Hitler was burning or the Nazis were burning, they weren't good books. They were bad books. They were socialist books. So, you know, they burned. That's true. Burning the book is the act of a savage, first of all. And when you start with burning books, you start burning people. But they burned Joseph Conrad, one of my favorite writers, Kafka, Hemingway, Jack London, and yes, some socialists, some of whom were extremely talented and some of whom were extremely interesting, like Karl Marx is an extremely interesting writer with whom I deeply, deeply disagree, but I don't burn his books because I'm not a savage. When you start saying that, that's a dog whistle. I'm sorry. I know it's a leftist phrase. I know they use it, you know, randomly with anything you say. I understand all of that still. So when you start to say, well, you know, some of those books they burned are, you know, were bad books, I'm sorry. That's a dog whistle. When you retweet a post saying a Jew is drunk on Christian blood, which goes back, as I'm sure you know, to old blood libel that you know, Jews eat Christian children, you know, that's a dog whistle. When you start to refer in this kind of clever way to certain group of people in Hollywood corrupting blacks and killing Michael Jackson, you're not allowed to then put on an innocent look and say, well, I'm just saying there's certain people, just a few, you know, I'm just saying, you know, you're messing with us. You're messing with us and everyone knows it. And no one is fooled except those people who want to pretend to be fooled because they hate the Jews.
Okay, rhetoric about the Jews. I don't necessarily agree with Klavan here completely. I think the dog whistle thing is correct, but I think the dog whistle thing is a habit that Candace fell into because she was looking for notoriety. I think she fell into the habit of clickbait. I don't actually think Candace is anti-Semitic. Candace has to be held responsible for the things that she says. I understand that, and there are consequences for those things. But she probably has no problem with that. But if I was her, I personally would not say things that people like Nick Fuentes would like. I would intentionally, even if there was a sliver of truth in what I was saying, I would try to stay away from anything that Nick Fuentes would say. Now, I can specifically give you an example of this. What Candace had to say about the First Lady of France is absolutely ridiculous, and it makes me not want to take her seriously. That kind of conspiracy theory peddling that the First Lady of France is actually a man and that she has the receipts on that, and then when she shows you, gives you her show, all she does is show pictures of the First Lady when she was a little girl. I mean, maybe she wasn't that attractive as a kid, but that is hardly conclusive proof. And the only people who fall for that kind of stuff, as Klavan said, are the people who want to fall for that, the people who are already inclined not to necessarily think too critically for themselves. And if Candace didn't want to be accused of sounding off dog whistles, and of course, I think there's some people who will say, yeah, that's a leftist term, don't use that. You're falling into their trap. Listen, I don't care about those kind of extortive arguments. I care about the truth. And that's what I want to try to underscore throughout this whole show today. If she didn't want to be accused of dog whistling, then she shouldn't have said anything about how great it was for the Nazis to burn books. Of course we understand what that is. That is a way to kind of throw a little extra to the far right. And if you burn books, there's no books that are off limits. Everything that Hitler did was wrong because it was motivated by an evil heart, even if there was a small sliver of truth to anything that he did. What is the purpose of trying to extol him for doing anything good if it isn't to give some props to your buddies over there on the far right? I don't know how you can be a defender of the First Amendment and get anywhere close to advocating for the burning of books too, by the way. All I'm saying is there's not much logical here, and there isn't much of a logical explanation for this outside of the kind of thing that Klavan is accusing Candace of. And I think Candace means to rationalize some of the rhetoric that we hear because the left is so aggressive. And I get that kind of pushback, but we can't push back to the point of lying or misrepresenting the truth. That's all I'm saying. So I'll be very clear. I despise the left just like anybody else. I hate what they're doing to babies. I hate what they're doing to children. And I hate what they stand for in terms of Christianity. If there is a group of people online, as I already mentioned before, that I just really can't stand, it is progressive Christians who spend every waking moment throwing shade at real Christians, also while trying to fight for the right to receive tolerance and love and acceptance for your gayness. But even though I despise progressive Christians and the progressive movement as a whole, I cannot let that blind hatred get in the way of condemning the fact that there are a group of people out there on the far right who say horrible things about Jews and blacks that are racially charged and rhetoric that is racially motivated, that is not rational, moral, or anything else. And as a Christian, I have an obligation to stand, not in the middle, to avoid the left, but also not to just purely be on the right, but to stand in the truth. And when the truth pushes us inevitably to the right, which it will, then I stand there and I gladly accept the title of being on the right. I gladly vote Republican. I gladly refuse the endorsement of people like David French and his desire to push Christians to vote for Joe Biden. I gladly mock that and ridicule that and eschew that and stand firmly on the right, but only because I care for the truth first and foremost. And again, believing in the truth and caring about the truth, I think will push you to the right, but we care for the truth first and then follow it where it leads. That's all I would say. All right, let's jump into one final clip.
The biggest truth that Candace told in that way that I find, again, and this is not personal animus toward her, but I find difficult to excuse this when anybody does it. The truth that hid wickedness that I thought was the most wicked truth to use was the truth that Christ is king. It is almost exactly 20 years since I acknowledged the kingship of Christ in my life and over the universe as well. It's like 2 weeks and it'll be 20 years since my baptism. It was hard for me to do. I'm a proud man, and I want to be king. I want to be in charge of my life. I want to take credit for the good things that happened to me. I want to say, you know, what my opinion is about right and wrong. I don't want to bend the knee to anybody. And people who know me will tell you, I don't bend the knee to anybody except Christ the King. And the day I took off my paper crown and bowed my knee before his crown of golden light, I became a true man and a free man, and the joy in my heart has only grown. You know, when I did this, by the way, the priest who baptized me said, you know, Christians won't accept you. You'll still be a Jew. And I said, well, I am. That's my race. I'm a Jew. I'm proud of my race. It's a great race. It's done many, many great things, including write the Bible. And, you know, I am a Jew. But that hasn't happened at all. Christians have welcomed me with open arms, except this Christ the King anti-Semitic crowd. Christ is the King. And one day, every knee will bow and recognize it because he's not just my king, he's king of the universe. But when you use that phrase to mean that God has abandoned his chosen people, the Jews, through whom he came into this world incarnate, and that he's broken his promises, his covenant with the Jews, you are quoting scripture like Satan does in the Bible. You are quoting scripture to your purposes, and that to me is specifically wicked. You know, when you spit that phrase at Ben Shapiro, my friend Ben Shapiro, and you know, I understand this. All of you who love Ben, and I love Ben and Jordan Peterson, you all want to see them find Jesus because you know what joy and freedom that gives you, and you certainly feel that it alters your relationship with God. But when I think about this, to be honest with you, you know, and I know some people will disagree with this, but life is not a game show where you guess the name of God and you get to go to heaven. Honk, you know, yes, the name is Jesus. I look at Ben's life and I think if Ben were to embrace Jesus Christ, it would cause devastation to his family, to the people who love him, to the people who listen to him, to his position in the world. I just have this feeling that God has put this guy where he wants him to do what he wants him to do. And as you know, I feel that Jesus Christ, it would cause devastation to his family, to the people who love him, to the people who listen to him, to his position in the world. I just have this feeling that God has put this guy where he wants him to do what he wants him to do. And as you know, I feel that, you know, the Jews were not abandoned by God. I feel the same way about Jordan. Jordan struggles with this stuff, and I feel like I have an inkling of why he has to struggle with it, but his struggle is inspiring to other people. And I think God wants his boys where he's got them, and there's no thought in my mind that he is going to send these guys into battle and then turn his back on them when they come marching home. It's not a game show. You know, Christ is love, Christ is truth, Christ is the logos of the moral order. You follow love, you follow truth, you follow the moral order. You will find yourself ultimately at Jesus Christ's door. I don't worry about Ben and Jordan Peterson one little bit.
I have agreed with Klavan up to this point, and now I vehemently disagree with him completely. If anything, this shows me the importance and the need for conservative Christian media, and not just conservative media. No, I agree that hell is not a club that we should smack people over the head with. If you're telling people Christ is king just so that you can ensure that they know they're headed to hell, I'm not sure that's the right attitude or the right way to really win people. And besides, it's not the right way to use hell. Hell is not supposed to be a slam dunk. It's used as a recognition of the wickedness of mankind and the severity of sin. Now, this is where Christ is king is an appropriate thing to say to Ben. If Ben does not accept Jesus, he will figure out that Christ is king, but in the wrong way. He will bow the knee eventually, but it won't be willingly. It won't matter all the good things that he's done for the conservative movement, because Jew or not, hell is a recognition of the fact that we are sinners. And if we refuse to accept the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, and his resurrection, then what we are actually doing is the epitome of sin. We are waving our fist in the face of God and saying, I refuse to believe in your Son. I refuse to believe in the goodness of God brought here to this earth for my salvation. And that is what hell really is all about. The epitome of a paper crown is my good is good enough for God, and I won't accept the good that you tried to give me, God. All of our claims to goodness melt away the moment our fist shaking in God's face happens in the face of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, by the way. This is why we need the forgiveness of Jesus that he gives us at the cross. It's not that we're endlessly trying to sacrifice and it's never good enough for God. It's that the sacrifice is already done. You don't have to anymore. This is why every knee that does not bow before our death will eventually bow in eternal life. Now, what Andrew seems to be mentioning here is something called dual covenant theology, and it is officially a heresy. It's the idea that the Mosaic covenant remains for Jews and the new covenant for non-Jews like myself. In other words, so Ben can get in on the Mosaic law where we as Christians can get in on what Jesus promises. So basically, it's all the promises of Jesus without Jesus for the Jews. That's essentially what dual covenant theology is. Now, what this does is two things that I think are deeply wrong and I see all the time. First of all, it appeals to a man-made mercy. In a world of evil and difficulty, you know, God would just make sure that good men, well-meaning Jews, people like Jordan Peterson even, that God would make sure that they make it in, you know. He's going to give them the extra fry in the bottom of the McDonald's bag. That's just how good of a God he is. He's going to usurp his own rules and subvert the truth and bypass what he said in the Word of God in order to be kind to people, because that's what I would do if I was God. And God's not a meanie, so... And all of that is predicated upon this man-made mercy that doesn't take into account that God is way more merciful than us. And it also not only underestimates God, but it underestimates the sinfulness of man. I have to be honest, I've heard Ben Shapiro talk about Jesus before, and it's probably one of the more irrational things that he says. He's not really willing to investigate whether or not Jesus is who he says he is. He says, well, I'm Jewish. That's why I don't believe in Jesus. Well, why not? He's a historical figure. Have you tested any of the claims? Have you read the New Testament and really thought to yourself about how those things may be true? Have you really questioned to yourself how you're going to atone for your sinfulness when you don't have a temple in which to sacrifice the sacrifices that are required under the Mosaic Law? Have you thought for one second that if you can't obey the Mosaic Law as you're told to in the Old Testament, how are you truly going to consider yourself the follower of God that you're prescribed to be? And that impossibility should lead people to the new covenant and what Jesus has done for us once and for all. So not only is this predicated upon a kind of man-made mercy, but it's also predicated on a kind of man-made moralism. Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. So as long as you're good, you're fine. Jesus came to make spiritually dead men alive. If not, then Oprah Winfrey and all paths lead to God. That's perfectly fine then. Or you can even make the argument that even beyond the kind of Oprah Winfreys of the world and her New Age spiritualism, that Margaret Sanger, of all people, are going to make it into heaven. Because after all, she thought she was doing something good. She was performing women's health care when she developed Planned Parenthood, or at least the precursor to Planned Parenthood. And all of her desire to make sure that we have a pure race and we get rid of those poor little black babies, ultimately she was trying to make our world a better place. So isn't that goodness in the heart of Margaret Sanger enough to get her into the kingdom? You may think I'm exaggerating here, but do you see the problem with a man-made mercy and a man-made moralism? This is why Klavan is totally wrong about Peterson and Shapiro. I love both of those guys. I think they've been a benefit to the church and to Christianity. I think they've been a net good. They've benefited me personally in a bunch of different ways. But it doesn't negate the fact that Jesus is necessary. Klavan called it a game show. You just guess his name, right? This is the whole point of Christianity. The guessing game is done. God came to this earth to reveal himself to each and every one of us so that we could know who he is, so that we don't have to hit the buzzer and guess correctly. Now it's just up to us to believe. And if we refuse to believe, that says something about us, doesn't it? And it needs to be acknowledged. At least Klavan is right about this one thing. If Ben were to truly come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, his life would be devastated. Jesus even said this. He said that if you do not love me more than mother or father or brother or sister, or you can maybe paraphrase a little bit here and say, if you love your status or your position, if you're too worried about what you're going to have to lose by coming to follow me, rich young ruler, well, then you are not worthy of me. That's what Jesus said. So, point of fact, following Jesus will destroy everything in your life, and it will do so in the best way possible, because there is no such thing as real life without Jesus. I think for a Christian to defend the unbelief of his friends doesn't serve him well. I can't help but believe that Klavan is a little bit too close to these men to actually see clearly. Like being directly in front of something, it blocks your vision to everything else all around it. So I think Klavan is actually onto something here. The same reason the atheist doesn't want to believe in God, generally speaking, is the same reason somebody might not purposefully want to believe in Jesus, because deep down they know that once they do, their old life is over. And they're so attached to what that is that it's hard for them to say goodbye. But the moment you take that brave act of faith and say goodbye to a life that might have been good. And by the way, this is again where the gospel comes into play. It's not that you're a bad man and you need Jesus. It's that all of our goodness is nowhere compared to the goodness that God wants to give you in knowing his Son. So deep down, if you really know that that's true, then what you will want for those whom you truly love, unapologetically, is to come to know Christ. We don't really necessarily want to let go of what we've always known because we don't know what will happen in the unknown. But out there is where God called his disciples. It's where he calls each and every one of us. And again, I'll tell you, out there is where your life will be devastated by the goodness of God in such a way that you will never want your old life back. I can at least give you that much of an assurance right on the precipice of a good Friday. Thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And most importantly, go with God.